Welcome to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprise throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour podcast recorded every week at the studios of historic WJR Radio in Detroit. Both hours of the show are available each week on this podcast and are streamed to our affiliates across the state of Michigan. We're also proud to be part of Detroit's newest and fastest-growing podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. I'm your host. We have a full studio full of people. We have Cal Carson, Kasten Braun, and our special guest, Brian Kurtz from MichiganVideoTours.com. And we're going to be talking about photography, video editing, and he's also a certified drone pilot. And we're going to be talking about some Christmas toy ideas. So stay tuned, and we'll be back to the Internet Advisor in just a moment.
Back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. And I'm your host, and we have Cal Carson Engineering. We have Gary Baker down in Florida. Gary, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in.
Sure, my pleasure.
Gary is the
great.
He's the true Internet Advisor. I mean, just want to make that clear. I'm just sitting behind the microphone, and he's trying not to get seasick down there in Florida. And of course,
boat's back in the water.
Yay, that's
I'm
right.
So excited.
Yeah,
I'm
we
so
talked
excited.
About that a little bit last week, how I'm sure you have now an air horn as part of your standard tools.
Boy, I sure should have had one that could have reached five stories up to the cargo ship pilot house that hit me. That would have been nice.
Oh my.
I don't know if he'd have stopped him or not, but it certainly would have let him know before he hit me that it was going to happen.
Yeah, there would have been an shiitake mushrooms moment there by the pilot if he would have saw you.
Something like that.
I absolutely cannot believe you weren't leaning out the window going, hey, slow down!
Yeah, we were outside, and I was bolting for the flybridge to get the diesels on, and one of my guests was heading towards the dock to get the lines off, and we just didn't get it all done in time before they hit us.
Well, everything's turned around. It's back from dry dock, and
it's
all paid up.
Yep, and it floats. Nice.
Even better. Nice new coat of paint.
That is important, floating.
Yeah. Kasten, thank you for joining us in the studio today, and you have a special guest. You have Brian Kurtz with you.
Yeah, I'm flying high to be here, and it's not because of drugs. It's because Brian is a very accomplished drone pilot.
Yes.
And an accomplished videographer and photographer, and it's going to be a great, a very lively conversation about enhancing photos and what's ethical and what's not when you're using that in marketing things.
It's very expensive toys they have to buy themselves. Not toys, tools. Photography, video cameras, cameras themselves, the photo editing software, the online storage, that all cost a lot of money.
Yeah, I know.
And the drones, that's just like icing on the cake. And I got to ask, how many, are we going to interview him right now or are we going to wait till the next segment?
No, let's hold him
off. I'm going to prep him. I'm going to find out how many drones he's crashed, you know. And him and Gary can compare notes.
He's a professional. He's crashed none. And even if he had, he wouldn't tell you.
Oh, my God.
No, but you said toys or tools. I think it's both. I mean, the craft work that he does, I consider him at the top of at least the local industry. Because I've seen a lot of work as far as drones in the real estate industry and things like that where he's focused. And in fact, I asked Brian, I said, do you do weddings? And he goes, oh, gosh, no. So he knows his craft well.
Well, you know, you talk about crashing and stuff like that, as Ed came up with, and Gary can probably comment on this because I think he was a pilot as well. When you said, has he crashed any of those drones? He's crashed them many times. The difference between crashing is all whether or not it's a controlled crash or an uncontrolled crash.
Yeah, this is true. Also, the recency of the degree of the crash could be important, too.
And speaking of drones, this is really great because this is a good segue into what I wanted to talk about. And this is gift-giving during the holiday season. And I've been following this pretty close on the Internet. And I try to find things that are helpful. And I know that Black Friday has already gone by, but there was a guy out there that I found called The Deal Guy. And The Deal Guy, he would go out and he'd shop for these Black Friday deals, but he would shop them by category, by vendor, which was really cool, I thought was neat. You'd go out and you look, and he'd have all the Black Friday deals at Walmart. And then he'd have another video, all the Black Friday deals over at Amazon. And then Black Friday deals over at another place, and that sort of thing, which was really cool. And then he took it a step further and mentioned that not only can you get these on a Black Friday deal, but you can also get these deals after Black Friday in different places as well.
So how do you do that?
Well, you just shop the internet and keep looking around, and you can compare and find these same deals out there, even in some cases with the same people who are actually selling them on Black Friday.
Yeah, because on Black Friday, they're still making money on the stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
All they're trying to do is take advantage of the brick-and-mortar craziness that people are willing to do, the run into the stores and bolt and panic and work really hard to try and get to things when it's really just as simple as just ordering off the net.
Please say it ain't so that people actually succumb to the wily ways of marketeers.
As long as the sun comes up, they will. You know, it's been that way forever. I mean, it's like, think about it. They start advertising Christmas and holiday stuff before Halloween even shows up.
Well, I started getting emails probably November the 1st on Black Friday specials that were coming.
I mean, there's a local radio station that starts playing Christmas music immediately on Halloween.
Yeah.
And then they play it all the way through. So, you know, if you succumb to these things that they have out there, fine and dandy. But a lot of times these Black Friday deals are generally limited to a certain number of pieces of whatever particular merchandise is out there. There's generally not enough people. There's more people than it is merchandise and that sort of thing. And then 9 times out of 10, if you really, really look around, you're going to find them anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, why go through all that sort of craziness?
And can I stick at the end here just one real pet peeve I have? Midnight, precisely at 12:00, the Christmas music stops on the radio station. Now, for me, Christmas starts the 12 days of Christmas. December 25th is the first day of Christmas. I want them to continue for another 12 days, please.
And I have no comment on that. I really don't.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, drop the mic. Yeah. Hey,
so I'm interested in talking to Cal. Have you used any technology to go find deals? Like, I use Honey.
Well, and Gary, we'll save that for the next segment. We're going to go to a break right now. And this is the Internet Advisor, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about some Christmas deals, and then we'll start a discussion with Brian Kurtz.
Now back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. I'm your host, Ed Rudell, and I want to remind you that you can go to internetadvisor.net and you can catch previous podcasts that we have published over there. So just go to our library over there or previous shows, and you too can listen to some of the our previous episodes. And you can also hit the contact us and write us some emails if you have questions about some computer issues or maybe some subjects you'd like to us to discuss. But right now, it's all about Christmas. And Gary, we were going to... Look who came into the studio. So we got Foster Brown.
Whoa.
Foster Brown came in there. He's waving.
It's radio. I should not wave.
we're going to get back to Foster at the latter segment, but before we bring Brian Kurtz in, Gary, you were talking about Honey, an application that you started using.
Yeah, I like it. It's automatic. It finds the lowest price on the net. I use it on my phone, so when I'm going into a store, I can use it there. There's a lot of stores that they follow, but they'll go out and they'll search for a lower price for anything that I buy online.
So it also it works for brick and mortar stores that you're walking into.
Yeah, well then I take and I just ask, can I, you know, find the lowest price for this item?
Oh, okay.
And it'll go find the lowest price on my phone. I can use it on my phone or on my PC when I'm, you know, working online and trying to buy something. I like it for Amazon because I go to Amazon and sometimes there's a lower price on Amazon for something.
Yeah.
And what I do is I think Honey works really well and it's automatic.
Excellent.
So how much money does it typically save, Gary? I mean, rubber meets the road.
It'll come back and say, you got the lowest price.
Okay.
Sometimes it comes back and says, there is a lower price. Would you like me to take you there? And so it all depends.
Yeah.
So I've saved anywhere from, it's not a lot because, from Amazon, but I'll save maybe 5 to even 10%.
Does it also give you the reputation of the vendor by any chance? Because I wouldn't recommend people buying iPhones directly from China.
Well, it would have to be from a vendor in China, but you're right. But so I would be careful there. It does not, to answer your question directly, it does not give you the reputation.
Okay. I'll call them and suggest that feature.
Okay, that's enough Christmas for now. I'm starting too many sweets and too much chocolate. I want to get into some nuts and bolts right now. And Kasten, you brought in a guest, which is near and dear to my heart. My son's also a video editor and photographer, and got his bachelor's in videography and screenwriting.
Well, Brian's the guy to know.
I want to say go for it.
Yeah, Connie's in real estate, and I help her out with the technology side and such. But she stumbled on to Brian, and I've been watching his work evolve because it is an evolving art. And I put Brian up on the pedestal because he's detail-oriented, and his videos and the way that he makes a house look is just incredible. I mean, it's phenomenal. But the thing that really got me interested in talking to Brian, and he's also an expert in this area, is video and photography enhancement, because there are tricks that you can do, and Brian can talk about some of the things that are ethical. Or hop in here, Brian. I mean,
sure.
So,
sure.
Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing, how you got into the business.
Sure. So I got my real estate license as a realtor in 2006. And in 2009, when things were going kind of bad, I got a letter from the Department of Veterans Affairs. They said, if you do not go back to school, you'll lose your GI Bill benefits eventually. So okay. I said, well, now I'll take a break and go back to school. When I came back, got my degree from University of Michigan. When I came back, the difference was that some realtors were using professional-grade photography, whereas before, everybody was just using point-and-shoot cameras, and they weren't hiring anyone.
Right.
So I wanted to have that for myself, and I started doing research, be like, oh, I can do this myself. And I was like, okay, this is what you got to do. You got to get the camera, put it on the tripod, and get all these lights, and you stash them all over the house, and you can just make the whole thing look awesome. And I was like, that's how to do it. And I was like, that's going to be too much trouble. I am not doing that. I'm a realtor, not a photographer. So I just called somebody. I said, hey, your photos look great. Who do you use? They gave me a name. And I called that person, and when they came over, there was no tripod, there was no lights, and I was like, this is not the way this is supposed to be done. I was like, this is not going to be where the quality is supposed to be. So I got the photos back, and they were all okay, so I was like, well, okay, beggars can't be choosers, so
but it doesn't work out very often.
right. So I just used them, because I was like, well, I'm a realtor, not a photographer.
Yeah.
And eventually what happened was they dropped the ball on me and sent me a really bad set.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my goodness, now I got consistency problems. Maybe I should just learn to do this myself, my way, the way these people in California are doing it. And so I bought all the gear, taught myself how to do it. And then all of a sudden people started calling me and saying, hey, can you do that for me at my house? And so I said, okay. And, you know, I give them a price. And eventually over time, it got to the point where I couldn't consistently service my seller customers or work with buyers as a realtor anymore and consistently deliver on time at this quality level that I've been, you know, that I branded myself with. And so I stopped selling houses completely. And now this is all I do.
Well, about that time, everybody stopped selling their houses completely. Yeah, so it was an easy way to go.
Well, yeah. I mean, at some point you were making more money doing the photography than you were doing the real estate.
Correct. Yeah. I'm working a lot more. You know, I just learned this year that you do have to kind of let a little bit of the control out and start hiring people. Otherwise, you know, in the busy season, you work literally, you leave the house at 8 a.m. and you're back at 6. You kiss the wife. You say hi to the kids. You have some dinner. You get back on the computer. You work till 2:30, deliver the photos.
Yep.
And then do it again the next day. And you do that 6 days in a row. You have one day off. And you,
and by Sunday, the kids are going, who are you again?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so this is important to get that life-work balance. Yeah.
So this is during the photo phase of it. And then drones were introduced around that same time.
Yeah. So, you know, drone photography and drone video started becoming popular. I would say, it started getting really popular right around 2016. Maybe a little bit, you know, started fading in earlier than that.
Yeah, a little earlier, but not much earlier. Yeah.
And
pie in the sky type of stuff.
You know, to this day, I am not like super stoked on drones. That's the most nerve wracking part about what I do. Mm-hmm. Trees, see, you know, for however many, you know, into time immemorial, trees did not know they loved to eat drones, but now they know this is our favorite snack. They every little branch is trying to get your drone, you know.
I don't know. I was 10 years old, which would have been back in the late 60s, and they loved eating those little helicopters that you would snap with a rubber band and kites.
Yeah,
so they graduated to the higher.
Oh, they love him. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a, you know, most of the drones have 4 propellers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the more commercial grade ones will have 6 or 8. If you have 6 or 8 and you get a propeller ripped off, it can compensate and you can land it. Right? But if it has only 4, they're coming down.
You know, so, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
But you learn those things out of practical experience. Yeah.
So, and I also, one of my favorite shows is Alaska, The Last Frontier. And I noticed, and also the Gold Rush. And I noticed in the last 2 years, they use a lot more drone coverage. For the photography of those shows, and it's really, you know, adds a lot to it. So you're adding motion now to your real estate, and that just got to blow the people away. And it's really a great selling point.
I think it is, and more importantly, the portals that are helping realtors promote their listings, like Zillow, they've recognized that the buyers want to see more video.
Yep.
And so they are prioritizing. They've told the realtors, hey, if you attach video to your listings, we will get you a boost and get more eyeballs on your listings because we know the buyers want to see it.
You must be paying them to tell the realtors that. It's good for business, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. We're going to get back to this topic because I think this is something we can all sink our teeth into, the changing market and adding motion to the real estate. And you're a certified pilot now. So we'll talk about that, certified drone pilot, which you have to be licensed now in the state of Michigan. Back to the Internet Advisor after this short break.
Now back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. And like I said last segment, you can go to internetadvisor.net, view our webpage there, and send comments to us and view previous podcasts that we have up there. And Keston, I want to continue our conversation with Brian and about, you know, the photo editing and stuff like that, because you were talking about, you know, how many celebrities and they doll up the butt or the tush, you know, just to make them look a little better and, you know, remove the, you know, the wrinkles and the cellulite and stuff like that.
It'd be a major job if they ever did that for me.
But you're saying there's something similar that happens or can happen with real estate and the photography there.
Well, if you think about it, you know, the ultimate objective of any real estate agent is to get a house shown. And so through photography, you can change dimensions and perspective to make a home look much bigger than it really is. And so, you know, that creates foot traffic.
And I've done that. When I sold a house, I went to Salvation Army, bought a bunch of small furniture, and put it in the place.
Well, staging is certainly normal. Ethical.
Okay, it is.
This is the issue of misleading people on the size of a home by altering the photography. And so I guess my first question, Brian, is, you know, where do you draw the line? What's ethical, what's not when it comes to photography?
Right. Well, my theory on this is that anything that will naturally change, you can basically mess around with it. You have kind of artistic license. So, for example, there are no blue sky sunny days in the month of January, like zero, right?
Oh.
But all of my realtors have blue skies in their photos, all of them.
What about leaves on trees?
Yeah, no, and, I don't. That would take too long. I'm not
kittens,
putting any leaves on trees.
Kittens with whiskers and all those other pretty things.
Yeah, no, you know.
I was trying to bring in Mary Poppins. I almost did it. Kittens and whiskers.
I'm thinking about in the background music, we're going, blue skies, nothing blue skies.
Okay. That's what they want. Yeah. They want blue skies.
Absolutely.
Right? So I'll put blue skies in. I don't think that matters because obviously 75% of the days of the year, there's going to be blue skies. So if there wasn't blue skies on the day I pushed the button on the
camera.
How
long have you lived in Michigan?
Yeah, a long time. So that's one. But, you know, every now and then you get some weird requests that you're like, you probably don't want to do that because, again, it's probably crossing an ethical barrier. So, for example, I've had requests for, can you paint the back deck in Photoshop?
Ooh.
Because the deck's peeling, right?
Oh, there you go.
And then you just ask them, well, are they going to paint the deck before you put it on the market? Because if they don't, you know, you might have an issue there. But, you know, you have other things that are being done. Builders will ask, the grass isn't in yet, but they'll ask you to put the grass in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of
like
questionable.
Like wall color? Like...
But there is going to be grass there. So, I mean, is that a problem or is that not a problem? I mean, they're not going to, when the person moves in, there will be grass. So they're not, it's not like the photo is going to be like, hey, there was grass. Now there's no grass, but there was in the photos.
Yeah.
How about those people that have paint their basements black? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get now.
Why
they
do
say,
they do that?
I don't know. I had a few friends that did that.
Or bedrooms purple or orange. That's not, you know, repaint those before you sell the house, please.
Clearly over the line would be reducing the size of a bed in order to make the house look much larger.
Yeah, actually, I think what probably happened is because this policy came out, I think it's probably related to that, but it's actually the other way around. Most likely what has happened is, you know, Billy and Betty Byer hired Rita Realtor and they went shopping for a house. They found the one they love.
Mm-hmm.
And they buy the house. They're not paying as much attention, having as much responsibility as they probably should. And then they hire an inspector. They assume the inspector is going to take care of everything for them. They're there 3 hours during the inspection, not measuring, right? And again, not paying quite as much attention as they probably should. And then they buy all the furniture for the van. It's getting shipped in. And the movers come out of their first floor bedroom, which they really wanted, first floor bedroom, mm-hmm. right? And they're like, oh, this is not going to fit. And they're like, what do you mean? They all go in there, and there's the king-size bed. And it is not sized to the room. And they're like, wait a minute. What's going on here? We are, you know, they're the kind of people who, you know, good Lord, you know, I did not know this but until I got married, but certain people sleep with their dogs sleep in the bed at the foot of the bed, and that is not negotiable, right?
Yeah.
I found that out after I got married. I was like, what are you talking about? So you need a king-size bed, right? Or you don't fit because the two dogs are there. And so then what happens is they're like, I was sure that a king-size bed would fit in here, yeah. right? And they go back looking at the photos, and then they notice, hey, there's a king-size bed in that photo, but it doesn't look right. It doesn't really. They put a digital bed in here, and they put the wrong size one in. Now, they've already bought the house.
Yeah.
They're paying restocking fees on furniture, second delivery fees, and they're frustrated because it's a queen-size bed versus a king-size bed, and they might not have bought the house.
And they can go back to the real estate agent or something like that.
Yeah, and that's where the problem, and that's where the policy comes in, is they can't really do anything. I mean, it's sold as is. They had an inspection, right?
Right.
Some things happen. But when they get upset, what do brokers say, right? Brokers are the ones that get called, the boss, right? Yeah. The broker comes to the realtor, says, look, you know, your customer called me. Here's the situation, $1,800 restocking fee, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing we can do to make the house bigger, but let's do this because you do want their business 7 years from now when they move again, right? Mm-hmm. We want to try to be the good guy here. How about this? I'll stroke a check for the $1,800 and we'll split it 50-50. I'll take $900 out of your next check and we'll just call it a day. Hopefully they'll do business with us again, right? Mm-hmm. So the realtor says yes because they do think that makes sense. And then what happens? The realtor goes to the board of realtors and says, hey, this happened to me. We need to do something so that this doesn't happen again. Notice there's no personal responsibility being cast upon the buyer to like double check. But it doesn't matter at that point.
Well, a lot of times people will fall in love with a house on Zillow, mm-hmm. and they won't even think to ask about it because a licensed real estate agent is going to look at dimensions on the house and
right.
work through those things. But the real estate agent's not going to say, hey, do you intend to put a king-size bed into that?
Right.
So it's just that assumptions are made based on the initial photographs that somebody might have seen before it even got to the real estate agent.
Right.
So you as a photographer doing this kind of thing need to adhere to those industry standards for ethics and right. avoiding deception.
You don't want to do things like, I've never had this happen, but in the forums, the real estate photography forums, this is a common one. People will say, hey, look, those high tension power lines are running right behind their house. Can we Photoshop those out?
Oh, good
point. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Or how about that blighted house right next door behind him?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or the same thing with, I was thinking that if you're doing a drone shot and you happen to be in an area where there's a crack house next door. I mean, I don't think that's going to be the case, but you know, hey, can you edit that out?
Yeah.
You just don't take a photo of that. You know, approach.
No, there's no way to do that. That's the problem is that for a while there, realtors were just wanting drone photos.
Yeah.
80% of homes are in subdivisions,
mm-hmm.
and the drone photos are not, they don't help your cause.
Yeah.
Instead of you being like, oh, look, this is a great drone photo, right? It's more like, look how, I never realized those neighbors are that close, you know, and you really don't. In normal neighborhood, you're like, hey, you're just going in the house. Hey, there's my yard and whatever. You put the camera up in the sky and you're like, everybody's really close.
But you know, but like for me, I live on 10 acres. I got 150 acre horse stabling yard. I got That's llamas different. To the left. That's different. You're going to want to show that. So there are instances where you want to use drones.
Water.
Water. Okay. Mm-hmm. So where can people get a hold of you?
So if anybody wants to get a hold of me, it would be michiganvideotours.com. And then you just click the contact link at the top of the page. And there's my contact information.
You have examples of some of your work there.
That's all that is.
It's beautiful. Beautiful work.
Okay.
Yeah. And we really ought to have you on because there's other technology that's happening in real estate visualization. What you do on the inside of a house looks like a drone's flying around.
Right. So, right.
But we'll get into that next time.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Gary, now you used some drone footage personally within the last year or two, didn't you?
Well, actually, I had, there was some video shot. I had some guests here that said, you know, you don't market your boat very well. Let us help you. And they had a drone and they showed, you know, they took and did a really nice video of that. And then we had another guy come on board and he did a really great job of using a drone. And it looks pretty nice from the air. And we actually have Shared Adventure right on the top above the on the top deck. Above the flybridge, so you can see it from the air very well. So good marketing technique and wonderful way to show off some really great clear blue water when you start to see it. It almost looks like the boat's floating when you're out in the Bahamas.
Well, I know it's,
and use a drone.
I know it's kind of early, Gary, and we're getting ready to go to a break, but did you see some marked improvement so far that you can speak of from that drone shot, or is it still too early to talk about?
Well, no, we've had it for a while, and people mention it. They do. They say, hey, you know, we saw photos of the boat online, and we love the videos, and so it works.
Hmm. Brian Kurtz, I really want to thank you for coming into the studio with us.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And good luck with your business. So you've been doing this for a couple of years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2016.
2016. Wow. Yeah. Well, congratulations on it. And you looks like you found your niche.
It's just beautiful work he does.
All right.
It's artwork. It really is.
So when we get back to the Internet Advisor, we're going to commiserate with the old Internet Advisor crew. And we're going to have Foster Braun and, talking with us just like the old times. We'll be back to the Internet Advisor just after this.
Now back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Braun, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. And in studio, we have Foster Braun. Thank you for thanks for coming in, Foster.
I'm very, very glad to be able to be here. And really, this is probably the last time that I'll be able to have the strength right now to stay on the air.
Yeah, you looked a little fatigued.
Oh yeah, I'm in hospice care at home.
Yeah,
pardon me.
But you know, you come through the door and you still just swept in and made a statement just by being here.
Well, Gary,
Foster, you did take the elevators this time, right? You didn't climb the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
The Fisher Building.
Didn't climb the outside of the building. No, no, not at all. No, I just wanted to be here just to congratulate you guys on continuing on. And we're working on making sure that all of the blogs that we do here, you guys, you know, labor on, get seen and heard. Through our website, and so I want to do a little work on that behind the scenes, and that'll be my last contribution to the show because I'm running out of gas, guys.
Yeah,
Gary, it's been over 20 years.
You know, I was up a few weeks ago, and we had just a great time.
Oh yeah,
talking and reminiscing of 20 plus years of being on the show together, and it was actually wonderful. We did some videotaping. We haven't aired any of that yet. It was a wonderful time that we all got together. Everybody that was involved in the Internet Advisor over the years, Tom Dyroff was there. Only person was Ed that was missing.
Yeah.
He had another family.
Yeah.
Health issue in the family.
So. Yeah. He's doing fine.
Is he good?
Yeah, better than you, Foster.
Much better than me. Thank you. Thank you.
My father has congestive heart failure, so he's extremely overweight and obese, but he's 85, 86 years old, and he gets accumulation of water in his system, and then, you know what that does around your heart. Yeah. Then you got to take a diuretic in the hospital, and you get rid of all that water weight, and everything goes back, buy yourself another year or so.
Well, I'm glad that you're here with us today. Because I'm just want to give my blessing to this crew, to everybody who's here, who has made this continue on.
It's gonna be hard, Foster, because you're the heart and soul of the Internet Advisor. Your warmth and your personality, talking to our listeners and bringing all those years of experience that you have, everything from those old Thanksgiving parades you used to do for WJR.
Oh, Lord.
And, you'd talk into the people on the streets and you'd bring these stories in and the common man, like what's going on with my computer. When we had listeners come in, they enjoy talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
well, you hit the nail right on the head. The program is about the common man and about getting them through. Gary, would you agree to that?
Absolutely. You know, and that's really what we tried to do, is take technology, make it simple enough, describe it simply enough that people understand it. And it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
And we try to take all that complication out. And I think there's been a lot of people that we've helped over the years. You know, we've gotten lots of email. It's just been a rewarding experience. And I'm, very, very disappointed that you won't be continuing with us, but happy that Ed and Cal and Kasten are in the studio every week, and they remember occasionally to dial me in.
they're doing a great job here, Gary.
I mean, once in a while you blank out your memory. I mean, what are you going to do? But I think the most important thing is that the fact of having Foster involved with this show and the fact that you and Foster innovated it together and came up with the concept and made the concept grow and run for the last 20-some-odd years. The fact that you were able to wrangle Ed to come in, and Ed's extremely talented at answering the questions for the when the people call in with problems and that sort of thing. The fact that you
And you, too.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Cal, you've helped an awful lot through that process.
Here's that $10 I promised you, Cal.
Thanks a lot. I just came along because I was, you know, I saw the river flowing. I stuck my foot in the current, and it just sucked me in. But being here and just being part of this experience in the show and hoping to keep it going on regardless is really, really cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cool to do, and but the best thing that I got out of the entire experience is, of course, learning what radio is all about and broadcasting from Foster. The man is, he's just great at doing it, and I think that's the reason why this show's been successful for so many years.
You know, guys, one of the other things that's happening, too, is a new generation of people are joining us in casting. You represent that.
New kid on the block.
New kid on the block, and there's some great things coming up. I was talking to somebody the other day and saying, technology is changing so quickly now. Talking about drone technology changing in incredibly fast, and everything we touch, it's just blazing away. So we need new blood. We need new perspective.
Right. And you know, when we started this radio show, when Gary started this radio show, and I started a few years afterwards in 2003, technology was confusing. They were pumping out products, a lot of people just didn't understand how to use them. Well, those manufacturers now, including the software companies, have done a better job of easing and making it better out-of-box experience.
Yep.
Early on in the years, it was a better out-of-box experience with no security, as Kasten can tell you. But now they're actually doing a little better in the security function. But there's still a need for someone to help interpret and weed through the details for our listening audience. And I think that's what the show still brings, Kasten.
Well, you see the emphasis moving from how do I install a hard drive when computers are put together like a kit to how do I protect my privacy when the companies that I'm doing business with aren't protecting it for me.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing. And for me, Foster, you may not be here, but you're not leaving. I mean, you're going to be here. You are the show. You always will be. And the thing that struck me from the first time I was in the studio is there's a lot of things that people can't see going on behind the scenes with, oh, my gosh, we can't get this caller on the phone. Where are they? Or this microphone's not working. And, you know, it's this, I'll call it nicely, controlled chaos.
Yeah.
But the way that you welcomed people into the studio and just the way you are in life, being so gracious and so kind, you know, you've been an inspiration to me, not just here, but, you know, you've had an effect on my life. And I know that you've had an effect just in your demeanor and what you talk about on the radio all these years on so many people's lives across the 38 states that WJR has
been. It's been a privilege. It's been a tremendous privilege. And Gary, maybe you're carrying the sound of the show even further into the Bahamas and into
anywhere the internet reaches today. You know, the best part. And I do think that we'll be able to continue the show as long as WJR feels we're of value and our listeners feel that we're, you know, of value, that they're getting some. They're either getting educated or entertained, one or the other, and hopefully both. Right?
With Ed, co-hosting the show. Entertained for sure. Sometimes in the most outrageous ways, but I love that.
Yeah, I think it was explained. I was dropped on my head too many times as a child. My dad just keeps on reminding me of that.
Well, guys,
using that excuse.
This is probably the last. This is the last show that I'll be doing here on the Internet Advisor, just because of my health issues. But I want to thank all of you and Gary, my old partner. Thank you for fighting for this early on and for continuing to be a spark plug here. And the rest of you, onward and upward, excelsior.
And with that,
thank
you very much, Foster. It's been an honor and a privilege, and we will continue the legacy. And I was going to let Foster take us out, but he's a little choked up right now.
No. Well, you've been listening to the Internet Advisor on 760 AM WJR, but right now we're our own blog system, and we hope that you continue to look for us and enjoy us.